Well, good morning to everybody. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. It's good to be here with you, and I appreciate the opportunity that I've been given here to stand before you this morning and teach you something from the Word of God. I would like to say I appreciate the prayers that you have offered in my behalf when I had my eye surgery. My eyes doing good, and it's still in the healing process, and I'm still using drops in it four times a day to help it to heal up. The sight that I get from it is better, but it's not as good as I thought it would be, because there's still some areas, some lines he sees across my eye that can't be dealt with surgically. The only thing that can be done to deal with that is a cornea implant, and we don't want to do that just yet. So I see out of it well enough to use this one right now rather than depend on somebody else's that's passed on from this earth. So, but I'm doing good. And the pressure in my left eye that I was scheduled to have surgery on at the end of this month, I have canceled because the pressure is down to very normal conditions, and my doctor doesn't think I need that surgery right now. So we've canceled that surgery, and we're back on schedule with my regular routine checkups every 4 months. But I appreciate the prayers that you've offered in my behalf, and I wanted to say that before I began. Now this morning, it's our communion day. That's a very special day for a church, because it's a time when we reflect and remember what Christ Jesus our Lord has done for us. And what I'd like to speak to you about this morning is about the love that Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, had for his children, that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. And the scripture speaks of that love that Christ had for us. First of all, I can just reflect upon my mind a scripture in the book of 1 John that says this, and I always love this scripture because the religious world in which we live wants to put the emphasis on your love for Christ, but the emphasis ought to be on his love for us. There's a scripture in 1 John that says, "Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and was the propitiation for our sin." Now that's love. We were sinners. We were unlovable. There was nothing about us that would cause God to love us as sinners. But the scriptures tell us that he did love us. And that is great love. Herein is love, not that we loved him. There's also a scripture in 1 John that says, "We love him because he first loved us." And if it had not been for his first love for us, we'd yet be dead in trespasses and in sin, and none of us would love Christ. Great is the love of God. I want to talk about the love of Christ Jesus for his elect children that God the Father gave to him before the foundation of the world. First of all, that love that he had for you, the elect children of God, is unchangeable. You can't change it. You can't do anything to change that love that he had for us. We'll find that here in the in John chapter 13, the very first verse. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." It's unchangeable. You can't change it. His love is to you unto the end. It's eternal. It can't be changed. His love is unconditional unto all that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. Now we're going to take a look at several scriptures that speak of the love that Jesus had for us, his children. We'll turn over now to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we'll find a scripture that describes that love that Jesus had for us as a divine love. What does that mean? That means it's a love that comes from God himself. God the Father in heaven loved us. It's described here in this chapter of the Gospel of John. We'll begin there at verse 7. Jesus here speaking says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Then in verse 9, he describes the great love that Jesus had for you as a divine love. He says in verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me." Now think about that. As God the Father loved Jesus, his only begotten Son. As God the Father loved Jesus, his Son. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." The love that Jesus had for you little children, the elect of God, is a divine love. It's a love as God the Father had for his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye and ye abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So we express our love to him. How? By keeping his commandments. People say keeping the commandments of God is a way to earn a way to heaven. No, it's not a way to earn to heaven. Jesus obtained the way to heaven for you, little child of God, when he sacrificed himself on the cross. But if we want to express our love to Jesus for the great love that he had for us, which was a divine love, then we do it by keeping his commandments. It's not to earn a way to heaven. It's to keep his commandments and serve him while we live in this world, and by doing so, expressing our love for him, for what he has done for us, and for the love that he had for us, which was the same as the love that God the Father had for him. So it's a divine love. In this same chapter, we'll see that it's not only a divine love, but it is a self-sacrificing love. Jesus left the portals of glory, came here at the command of God the Father. He came, the scripture says, in obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. And it was a self-sacrificing sacrificing love that Jesus had for you, little child of God. He was willing and came at the command of God the Father to this earth to sacrifice himself for you and to redeem you and to justify you before God himself. That's described here in this same chapter. We'll see here as is expressed beginning at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Then in verse 13, he says this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. That's a self-sacrificing love. Jesus, in fact, laid down his life for all that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. So it's a self-sacrificing love. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said, ye are my friends. How? If ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, a friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So it's a divine love. It's a self-sacrificing love. Now turning over here, we'll find another scripture that describes it as a love from which you cannot be separated. You cannot be separated from the love of God. You know, it says here in the book of Romans, chapter 8, he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Well, if God justified you, who can lay any charge to the elect of God? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Where is he at right now? People might question you sometimes. Well, if Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, where is he? Take me to him. Show me where he's at. You can't go to him because he's in heaven, but he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, ever making intercession for each and every child of God that God the Father gave to him, and that he learned, that he loved with a divine love, and with a love even as God the Father loved his only begotten Son. So we have that love of Christ that's upon us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can we be separated from that love that Christ had for us? And then he goes on and describes several things that someone might say will separate you from the love of Christ. None of these things can separate you from the love of Christ. He said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're inseparable from the love that Jesus Christ had for his elect children. We cannot be separated from it. There's so many things that the scriptures have to say about that love that Jesus had for us. We'll now turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, where we'll find a scripture that tells us that his love that is within us, the love that Jesus had for us, it is a constraining love. Now, what do I mean by constraining? It's when Jesus comes into the heart of a child of God, it causes him to feel the weight and the burden of sin in his life. And when he recognizes and sees sin and feels guilty because of the sin that's in his life, it'll restrain him in his activities. It'll restrain him because he doesn't like the condemnation that he gets when he sins and knows it's a sin against God. So it is a constraining love. Jesus in you constrains you from being the person you would be if you didn't have Jesus within you. And it's spoken of here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it beginning that we'll begin there at verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. And then in verse 14 he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So when Jesus is living in the hearts of his of a child of God, he's been quickened and made alive by the birth of the new birth, and Jesus lived within him. That thing within him constrains him from being the person he would be without having that Spirit of God within him. So it is then indeed a constraining love. Now we want to look at in the book of Galatians, where it's described here in the book of Galatians as a sacrificial love. It says in the book of Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, when you're born again, he takes up his abode in the hearts of his children, and Christ lives within you. It's that thing that constrains you from being the person you would be without it. You would be if you didn't have it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, Jesus Christ on the tree of the cross gave himself for you, little child. He didn't offer himself to you, though. He offered himself to God. Why did he offer himself to God? Because God is the offended party because of your sin. And God had to be satisfied for the sacrifice to redeem you from your sin. And so Jesus went to the cross. He gave himself for you. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Yes, indeed, it's a sacrificial love that Jesus had for his children. Now we want to take one last scripture in closing out this morning on the love that Jesus had for his children. It's described for us in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. And it's such a sweet story of what actually happened when Jesus went to the cross and died in our room and in our stead. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." We're told to walk in this love that Jesus had for us. Walk in it. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself. There it is. Given himself. He gave himself to die in your room and in your stead. And on the cross, he was a substitute for each and every one that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. He said, "Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us." Now I want you to see, he gave himself for us, he says, an offering and a sacrifice to God. He didn't make the sacrifice and the offering to you. He made the sacrifice and the offering to God himself for a sweet smelling savor. Who is it a sweet smelling savor to? It's a sweet smelling savor unto our God. Why? Because God needed to be satisfied with the sacrifice for your sins, that your sins might be removed from you as far as the east is from the west, that your sins might be removed from you and God would never remember them anymore. Why? Because you have the substitute of the righteousness of this man Jesus that loved you so, that's substituted in your room, in your stead. And God looks at every one of his children in the righteousness of Christ, not in your own doings, not in your own righteousness, not in your own self activities, but in the righteousness of Christ himself. Yes, no greater love that has ever been demonstrated than the love that Christ had for those that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. Now we've looked at several scriptures this morning concerning the love of Christ, and on this day that we have communion after lunch today, in which we remember the things that we do as to what Christ has accomplished and done for us. We remember the great love of God. It's an unchangeable love. It's a divine love, because it's the same love that God the Father had for his Son Jesus Christ is the same as the love that Jesus Christ had for you, his elect children. It's a self-sacrificing love. He came specifically at the command of God the Father to this world and to this earth to sacrifice himself, because he was the only one that had that was necessary to sacrifice in our behalf. So it was a self-sacrificing love that he had. It's an inseparable love. It's a love that you cannot be separated from. Once you have it, God will always keep you in it, preserve you in it. You're inseparable from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. It's a constraining love because it's a spirit that's within you that constrains you and makes you keep from sinning. It won't keep you from being a sinner, but it'll make you a lot better person if you follow after the Lord and keep His commandments. It's a constraining love to the children of God. It's a sacrificial love because Christ came here, sacrificed Himself in your room and in your stead, and we're told to walk in that love even as He loved us. Walk in that love, little children, and love the Lord even as He has loved us. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And as that first scripture I quoted, I can see, and I hope you can too, herein is love. You want to express love? Herein is love. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I thank you for your attention. Pray now for Elder Will Martin as he comes to preach to us.